This week's reading is from the Gospel of St. Luke, reading from chapter 6, verses 17 to 26. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem and from the coastal region round Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking to his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." The standout section of today's reading from the Gospel of Luke is that list Jesus provides of what makes people blessed. These are often referred to as the Beatitudes. Some Bible translations replace that word blessed with the words happy. Though, to be fair, happiness doesn't really do the meaning justice. Jesus is talking about the kind of happiness that goes much deeper than anything that just makes us momentarily happy or puts a smile on our face based on one life event or situation. Blessed is much more deep-rooted than that. It's a lasting joy, a sense of inner well-being that doesn't change when your situation changes. It's like, I suppose, a body of water on the surface faced with ongoing hot, dry weather, drought. It will take away that body of water or massively reduce it. And that's because of external circumstances and the superficial nature of the surface water. And it can actually happen with the most enormous lakes. I once visited Lake Naikuru in Kenya, and that was during a long drought. It was absolutely shocking to see absolutely no water left, and the destruction of the plant and animal life was really awful. Yet look to water in subterranean areas, largely protected from the elements, underwater caves, rivers underwater. They don't suffer that shortage of water that can happen to surface water. Their source is protected, albeit unseen, much like God. When Jesus talks about those who are blessed, he's talking about a long-lasting, deep, resilient, God-given, life-penetrating happiness, which is not at all dependent on what the world does or doesn't throw at us. To be blessed is totally and utterly dependent on God, our external source of happiness. So as you casually read these phrases, blessed are you who are poor, blessed are you who hunger, blessed are you who weep, blessed are you when people hate you, exclude you and insult you, it can be something of a puzzle. We could conclude that God wants us to suffer, that we should strive to be suffering. Not so, because that wouldn't be in keeping with our loving God, who, according to all of the teachings of Jesus, wants the best for us all. He wants an end to oppression and hostility. Jesus is acknowledging that life does hold a great deal of suffering, but he is saying that our suffering doesn't need to define us, and it certainly doesn't need to exclude us from the supernatural peace and happiness that comes from having a relationship with God. It's worth remembering that Jesus delivers these words just after spending time healing people in the crowds, verses 18 to 19. They had come to hear him and be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. You can imagine the excitement and euphoria of both being healed and being one of those people in the crowd watching people being healed, especially if they were loved ones, friends or family. The hope that must have instilled for a better future would have been incredible. And when Jesus turns his attention to the disciples, he's not at all trying to ruin that moment. He's not trying to dilute his power or take anything away. But he is warning that physical well-being is not an automatic route to long-lasting happiness. Physical healing is not enough. There's a need for more, a whole being healing that can only come through faith in God and keeping a focus on eternal life, verse 23. So in this context of Jesus delivering visible physical healings, he's highlighting the fact that we all need healing. After all, in Mark 2, verse 17, he said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." The risk for those who feel that their lives are sorted, generally happy, satisfied with how things are, is that they don't always recognise that God gap in their lives. They're not obviously ill or obviously in need, and therefore they don't seek the healing presence of God in their lives. Having the freedoms and status they want, a level of wealth which makes them comfortable, good health in their chosen relationships, and generally living with lots and lots of things going on, just as they'd hoped for their lives. But it provides a superficial sense of happiness and that desire to search for that deep, resilient happiness or blessedness that only God can provide. Sadly, it's often only when some of those material comforts are taken away that there comes a realization that the happiness of the world is shallow and it's temporary. It's why so frequently, I certainly, I'm sure you all do, hear stories of people finding God when they've hit absolute rock bottom, when they've lost everything, or turning to God in prayer when one of those areas that has been working so well for them suddenly falls apart. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's really important to come to God at those times. And he is waiting for us. He's ready to hold us in those really difficult times. But it's sad, isn't it, that sometimes we, as a result of our humanity, need to go to that place before really appreciating that God can offer us something different, something way better in all circumstances. So when Jesus says, "Blessed are those who are in really horrible situations," he isn't wishing that on them. He's not waiting for us to be in those situations, far, far from it. He is simply saying that we need to rely on something much more solid than anything the world can offer. Thankfully, we don't have to reach rock bottom before we're able to benefit from God's blessings. We don't have to be poor. We don't have to be hated, rejected, hungry, grieving. Though God's love certainly penetrates those areas of our life and heals us when we are in those places, we simply have to believe in God, look beyond just this life to what the eternal life offers, as opposed to letting this life dictate our every goal. We need to welcome the healing presence of Jesus in our lives, even when we may think we don't need it, because we do. And if we don't recognise it now, we will certainly recognise it as some of those awful life events hit us. We just need to ask God for those blessings right now.